So we're in Matthew chapter 6 here, a great scripture passage. So if you want to join us in your Bible or on the screen, it goes like this. Don't store for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth eat and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothing to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their own clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if your God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring enough worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God.
Thank you, Keith. So this has always been a kind of a surprising month for me as we make our way through Rooted. I've been sick twice. The last 2 weeks, I kind of felt like the stuff on the bottom of your shoe that you wipe off on the edge of the curb. I am not kidding, man. I've been clocking like 12 hours of sleep a night. I finally started to break out of that a couple of days ago. That means you're in a lot of trouble because I feel really good today. So, let's talk about money. Ooh, nobody likes to talk about money. And nobody really likes to talk about money in the church. And so the bottom line is that money in a church is not about money. It's really about faith in God. That's what our passage says. Do you have faith in all the money you've stored away in your portfolio and your 401k, or are you finding your trust in Jesus? Now, if you're a guest with us today, welcome. I want you to understand as we make our way today, we're going to just be talking about some principles that I think are very true. And I think all of these principles translate into our everyday lives very, very well. It does get down to wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Just check out how you've spent your money in the last 3 months. That'll tell you what's most important to you. It's true, right? Your calendar and your bank balance tells you a lot about what's important to you. Matthew says, don't worry about the worldly things. God will take care of you. If he takes care of the birds and the flowers in the field, we're encouraged to store up treasures in heaven. That's really an investment in eternity. Now, you remember, you're not going to take any of it with you. I have not yet, in all my years of pastoring, found a trailer hitch on the back of a hearse. I do know people have been buried in their cars. But you're not going to take it with you so you can send it ahead so that eternal things will happen. Here's how the conversation goes, and I think it makes very good logic. Number one, it really is all about who owns everything you have. The Bible says God owns it. He's the one that gave it to you. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Now that makes sense. That reminds us of Genesis. So God created human beings. He blessed them and said, live all over the earth and bring it under control. I'm putting you in charge. Now understand, that is not ownership, that's management, or what we, the word we use a lot of times in the church is stewardship. How do we do a good job with what God has given us to do? And he's given us everything around us. He's the owner, we're the manager. The master said, he said to his master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Why? He managed what the master gave him in a good way. And even this parable of the talents is not about money. It's about eternity. And it's about how do we utilize what God has given us? How do we manage it well for kingdom purposes? It's what the parable is all about. Now, the two most frequently made comments to me, I'm going to share with you today about why I don't give money, why I don't tithe. And the second one is this next verse. No, you need to understand that, I worked really hard and I deserve everything I have. Well, you probably have worked pretty hard. In fact, the last time I looked around, to a certain degree, the smarter you are, the more money you can earn. Who gave you those smarts? Who gave you that ability? In fact, even who gave you a body, mind, heart, and soul that enabled you to work that hard? Because not everybody can work that hard, can they? Not everybody's got an IQ over 160. Where did that come from? It came from God. God has given us the ability to earn the wealth that we have. And again, it's not about the wealth. It's about whether we're wrapped up with ourselves or whether we acknowledge that God is the owner of everything we have. So it's good if you're smart and you've made a lot of money. In fact, the proof I shared a few days ago was I don't know a highly successful person that I've ever met, and I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of very successful people. To a person, they would say somebody opened a door for them that they couldn't open themselves. And or there was this one time where things just seemed to go really, really well, and I got an interview or that. What they're saying is that I didn't earn that. It was a blessing. That person blessed me by opening that door. God blessed me by bringing things together so that I could move forward. So let's not forget that God's the one that made you smart. He gave you skill. He gave you ability. He gave you talent. He gave you a mind, heart, and soul that could work really hard. That doesn't mean you own it. That just means you've been a very good manager of what God has given you. So if God, the Bible says, if God owns everything and we are the ones that have been put in charge to manage it, how are we honoring the one who owns everything? Now, I think the Bible's very clear here. In fact, one of my good friends, his pastor used to say, hey, while you're reading along in the Bible, he says, look for the greatest secret in the Bible. And the pastor would never tell anybody what passage he was talking about. And my friend said, one day I read Malachi 3, 8 through 11, and I realized that's the secret he's been talking about. And he went back to his pastor and he says, Pastor, this is the great secret. And he said, yes, it is. Let's look at that great secret. Now, it starts off with a challenge. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, well, how do we rob you, God? In tithes and offerings, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, SCC for us. Now, notice what he says. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for you to store it. Wow. Now notice what Malachi says. If we believe that God owns everything, then God tells us how to honor him with everything we have. He says, no, if you want to honor me, then you bring a tithe to the church. To the church you attend. Notice what he says. He says, test me in this. You know, there are very few places in the Bible where anyone speaking for God or Jesus himself or God himself ever says, test me. In fact, you go to the New Testament, it says, don't you test God, that's not right. Here it says, test me in this. I think it's a little dare. God's daring us. I dare you to honor me and just see what happens. You honor me, and I can tell you what, that I'm going to open up the floodgates of heaven, all those miraculous supernatural resources. I'm going to pour out into your life, and you won't have enough room for it. You want a little or you want a lot? It's all bottom line. It's not about money. It's about honoring God. And as I talk over the next several minutes, I want you to know that my wife and I tithe to the church, and then we go beyond that in sacrificial giving. My wife is one of the most generous people I get to hang around with. She's always looking where she can add into someone's life and make a difference. And for us, it's started with the tithe to the church. I think we have to live the 10-10-80 principle. 10 to God, 10 into savings, and learn to live on 80% of our income. So a tithe. Now let's see. Oh, I give you a really good illustration. See, a tithe is 10%. It's not 2%. If we were to do a survey in this building, the best we'd be doing is averaging about 2%, maybe 1% in our giving, not 10% in our giving. And by the way, a lot of pastors don't tithe. I tithe. I get a check just like you do. And I know how to move the decimal place one to the left. So $3,137.52 is the average gift to the church. It could be a person or it could be a couple. They go together. They're both, we call them giving units. Now, move the decimal place to the left, okay? $313.75. Now, I'll let you do the backwards math of that. Take $3,137.52, multiply it by 12. Does that match the income statement that you get? Yeah, I know. No. Now, hear this. It's a tough one, but it's true. We did a big financial study of where we are as a church, partially because there's some other building to do down the way. And the money team got together and looked at the giving, giving diagram or curve of the church. And we discovered a very amazing thing. 43% of those that regularly attend this church give this church zero. Zero. Now, if you're a guest here, people tithing is not going to change what I make. So this isn't a pep talk to get me some more money. It is in some churches. It just isn't here. You know, we use national benchmarking numbers and all that stuff. It's not going to make an impact on me. First and foremost, if you begin to tithe, that's going to have an impact on you because now you're positioning yourself for God to bless you. The other thing that that says to me, 43% of the people who come here aren't really committed here. Someone said, well, you've just made it way too easy for people to come here for free. Well, that's not a bad comment for a church, is it? But boy, when you lift that up and look at it, ooh. What it really means is that people are not committed to each other. 43%. Because if you're committed here, then you're going, and I'm not talking about tithing, I'm talking about zero. 43%. A goose egg. Not really responding to what the Bible says. Not honoring God, first and foremost. And yes, it's true, the Bible says to honor God with the first fruits of your life, of your paycheck. And the reason for that, if you don't write that 10% check off the top, it will never be 10% at the end. And here is the number one excuse I hear from people. I can't afford to tithe. When I make more money, then I'll begin to tithe. And here's what I know is true. First of all, tithing has nothing to do with how much income you have. Everybody's receiving money. Everybody knows how to move the decimal place to the left. And that's the check you write. Those in commissioned businesses like my wife, every transaction, every commission, she writes a check. I get a regular check, so mine just keeps, it's on a real regular thing, right? So are we going to honor God or are we not going to honor God? If you're not faithful in a little, that is the parable of the talents, by the way, you're never going to be, I know you will not be faithful when you have a lot. Because if you're not faithful in the challenging times, I know you'll forget about God when everything's going good. So let's talk about the three most important giving principles I know of in the New Testament. We've talked about tithing, and again, I challenge you to test God. I've heard more and more stories from people who tested God, and God came through. In fact, one person said, yeah, I stopped tithing, and it all started to go to hell in the handbasket. Maybe I should have kept tithing. Maybe you should have. And I understand that. My wife and I have had very lean times. When we started to have children, Claire stopped working. That was when I was Keith in a church. And we were living in a very, very, very expensive community. $1 million homes and above, and we rented a little tiny place. And I can tell you what, that rent was not cheap. And we decided when we got married, we would give 10 to the church and 10 to our long-term savings, and then live on 80% of our income. And we kept tithing. I couldn't always do my 401k in those years. But we lived on the 80. In the midst of that, our church decided to do a building program. And guess what? If you're on a staff that's going to do a building program, what's the expectation? Here's your card. It needs to be a significant gift. A significant commitment. And so I went home and, you know, we had a conversation about that, and then we picked the number and I turned my card in like I was directed to do. I will say this, in that time period, what got us through was God. I was doing more speaking in other places in the country, and I was writing curriculum and articles for journals and eventually a book. And it was amazing, during that time, God brought some of the best work I ever had a chance to do. Between the speaking money, the writing money, weddings, funerals, I'll tell you what, that was our margin. And if that wouldn't happen, it would have been very difficult. And so I share that with you, not proudly, but as an example. That faithfulness, it's really hard to out-faithful God. It's real hard to do. All right, let's go to the three principles. Number one, it's about measure. Let's see our slide. Given it will be given to you, the measure you use, it will also be used towards you. Now I need my slide. Where'd my slide go? Oh, it's there. It's not. I'm not used to looking at that, so it's goofing me up. All right, here you go. You want to know why you're not reaping the blessings of God, Him opening up the storehouse and rolling it out for you? It's because you're using a little teeny tiny measure. The measure you use is the one that will be used to measure back to you. God can hardly bless you. Look how teeny that thing is. That's got to be a quarter teaspoon. I do a little cooking, that's all I know. Or is your measure a large measure? And just take it away for money for a moment. Isn't this true for all the rest of your life as well? If you measure out your friendship in little doses, that's exactly what you're going to get back. You're not going to have friends. But if you try to be a friend in a wholehearted way, in a big way, it usually comes back to you, doesn't it? The grace you show someone else, they show to you. If your financial measure is a little one, don't be surprised that you don't feel like God is really blessing you. Look at your little tiny thing, it's full. If you're sacrificial in your generosity, you got a bowl, a measure that is filled to the full and overflowing, pressed down. Read the scriptures. So principle one is, what measure are you using? Is your commitment measure a really small one, or is your commitment measure a big one? Is your faithful measure small, or is it a big one? Number two, it's reaping and sowing. And we know this is true as well. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If I only put two lettuce plants in my garden, I might have lettuce for three or four meals. But if you make the mistake that I made last year and put 12 lettuce plants and some kale in the garden, I mean, we had enough lettuce for us, the neighbors, and I do not like kale. I gave all my kale away to our neighbors that just love that stuff. Oh, here. I'll keep growing it for you because we love you. Eat it, please. And I don't have to. I don't even have to look at it. So, got a big bag of seed or a little bag of seed. You know what's interesting is in part giving is about how big our bag is, but more intentionally it's about how we sow. You know, it doesn't do you any good to have a big bag of lawn seed if you don't pour it out. It just sits there. And I know people with a little vegetable envelope seed packet. They don't even put it all out. Why do they say, it's too much work to put them all out? I just want a couple. I want it all to be very manageable in my life. The third is sacrificial giving. What's sacrificial look like? Sacrificial generosity. Oh, for millennials, this is called money. I know you're not used to seeing it, carrying it. These weird little things over on the left, they're actually called coins. Coins. Not bitcoins, just coins. So, a little or a lot? A little or a lot? It's interesting what Paul says. Paul says that the Macedonian church gave to him even when they were poor. What a blessing. Why did they do that when they were poor? Because they were committed. They were first fruits people. They were tithing people. And head down to the bottom of that passage, and what does he say? As you excel in everything else, what I want you to do is I want you to excel in the area of giving. I can tell you what, 43% of the people in this church are not excelling. They are not excelling. They are not stepping up. Now, somebody told me, well, I've never heard this before. Honestly, I never heard about tithing to the church before. Hence, I'm taking this message everywhere. This is the third time I've given it in the last 9 days. And I'm going to give it a couple more times. Because my job is to make sure you hear it. I can't make you do this. So you're the one that has to decide whether they want to be sacrificial and generous. You're the one that has to decide what measure you're going to use. How much you're going to sow, and that will determine how much you're going to reap along the way. Now, save the emails. Please don't argue with me. Go home and argue with God. These are all very plain scriptures. I've had people try to Mickey Mouse around with the storehouse out of Malachi. There's some Yahoo somewhere that says it's something else, but I got about 4 or 5 commentaries that say it's the church you belong to because we're now the temple. Jesus is the cornerstone. We're the kingdom people. I'm really glad that Jesus was sacrificially generous. He took the bread that night when he was with the disciples and he broke it and he said, "This is Christ's body broken for you." And then he took the cup and he poured it out. And looking around the table in each set of eyes, he said, "This is my very blood that I will shed for you." Now, Jesus is the model of sacrificial generosity. And some people say, well, of course, he's Jesus. Don't forget that Jesus was also very human, as well as very God. Sacrificial generosity, Jesus pays for us what we cannot pay ourselves. Jesus does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That sounds a little bit like the compassion topic we talked about last week. He's died on the cross for our sins, and he's slated us for all eternity. You can't buy your way into heaven, by the way. Had another conversation this week. Well, you know, I'm pretty good, and I've given away a lot of money. I stopped them. I said, who told you this foolishness? Where'd you read this? Some philosophy class? Some Yahoo's book? Man, that's not the truth, and you know it's not the truth. Look around in the world you live in. There's an all bad place and an all good place, and we're living in the middle. And interestingly enough, even living in the middle is not about the middle, it's about eternity. See, eternity is always in the balance. Eternity, as we make our way into it, is an understanding that God owns everything, and we want to honor the owner by being good managers. And as one person has said, God is so loving. Read it. I give you 100%. I only ask you to give me 10% back. That's pretty darn good. That's way better than my tax statement, right? See, this table isn't about money. It's about faith. This table is about a God who is committed to us to the core. And so we believe in him, we trust him, we seek to honor him.